You know, I walked out this morning with a large coat on, and it wasn't as cold as I thought it was going to be. And I was like, thanks, Jesus. You did some things. Thank you so much for reading the scripture. It's like one of my favorite scripture. It kickstarts one of my favorite stories. But before we start, do you mind if we pray just before we get started, just to invite Christ in? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ability to just be in your presence and talk a little bit about you. Talk about who you are to me and who you are to us. Lord, help us to find a relationship with you. Lord, let my words not be spoken, but your words in your name. Amen. So on the social media site Facebook, you can determine what your relationship status is. You can go online, you can see what your relationship status is. Some people are single, some people are married, some people are engaged, some people are in other kinds of relationships, things of that nature. But also there's a category that says it's complicated on Facebook. You can be in a complicated relationship with somebody on Facebook. And if you don't know what a complicated relationship is, let me give you some examples of maybe some of experiences where you've been in a complicated relationship with somebody. So, for example, one of my best friends got married this weekend in D.C., and so I drove up to D.C., and I was the best man. But one of the other groomsmen thought he should be the best man, and that made our relationship complicated a little bit while we were planning things. It made it sometimes a little bit awkward when things would be asked of me, and it was a little bit complicated. It was a little bit weird. When I was in high school, I thought I had met the love of my life. Her name, we will protect the guilty, but she was awesome and fantastic, and I was in love, or what I thought in love was, at the ripe age of 16, and we continued dating until we were in college in my sophomore year, until my friends decided that they needed to do an intervention for me, because they said, Jaron, your relationship's a little bit complicated, and I said, how is it complicated? Because love is blind sometimes, and they said, well, you know, she's been, like, talking to other guys, so maybe you shouldn't do that. And so my relationship with her became complicated. Sometimes when we grow up and we get older with our parents, there's this boundary of when you're an adult and you're still a child, but you have a job, but you still go home and sit at the table. It makes the relationship a little bit complicated, and we work through those relationships, but sometimes our relationships are complicated. Wouldn't you agree? Sometimes we have complicated relationships. And right now I really want to do a Bible study on a couple of people who inspire me as a people, and so inspire me as a person in their relationship with Christ, and their imperfect relationship with Christ. And the first person I want to talk to you about is David. And so if you wouldn't mind turning with me in your Bible to the verse that we read in Acts 13:22. And then I'm just going to read that again in the version of the Bible that I have. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. Acts 13:22. And it says, but God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man whom God said, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. A relationship with Christ is just that, a relationship. We see that married in the Bible with so many relationships. Today we're going to talk about Paul and David and how they differ in their relationships with Christ. And even though these men's relationship with statuses with Christ often changed, Christ's relationship with them never did. So sometimes our relationship with Christ feels complicated, or it feels different, or it feels excited, or it feels sad, but Christ's relationship with us always stays constant, because Christ is constant. You know, the prophet came and saw his father and said, he found favor in it, and thus began this amazing, miraculous journey of David with God. And it was so exciting. It was so exciting for David. David became this person who fought giants and was on the run. His relationship with God was a chase. It was what the movies talk about. He was on the run, ready to become king, this chosen man of God. And he was so excited about it. It's almost like when you first get in a relationship with somebody, they call it the honeymoon phase, where nothing is wrong and everything is perfect. You know what? It's okay that she doesn't do the dishes because her eyes are just so pretty. They're just so pretty. You know what? It's okay that his car isn't clean because you know what? You know what? His hair is just so curly. It looks so smooth. It's so great. And everything is just so exciting at the beginning of a relationship. And we have these rose-colored glasses on sometimes, and we get into relationships with other humans where we think, like, everything is going to be perfect in this relationship because this person and I, we're different. We're not going to have the issues that everyone else has. But as many of us know, in relationships, issues always come up because it's the melding of two people's minds. So eventually her eyes get less pretty and the dishes need to be done. And eventually you would like for him to clean his car up because you can't be in a stinky car. It just is not nice. Things change. And as we grow into our relationship with others, it gets sometimes a little bit complicated. It gets a little bit different. It gets a little bit rough. And so David is on this journey with God where everything is exciting. And he makes some mistakes along the way, as we all do, and he lies a couple times about who he is. But that beginning of his relationship with Christ, when we study that first chapter of what David is going through in his relationship with God, it is this exciting explosion of life, of joy, of this newfound relationship with Christ. And I don't know if any of you have felt that when you first got into a relationship with Christ, it was the most exciting thing in the world. Like, I'm going to go make changes. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to change lives. And David was really doing that. One day he was going to become king. And I'm sure David had these great plans. When he became king, he was going to turn over things and point towards Christ and do all these lovely things that were going to make a change. And David was set. But we see and we understand that David, something happens to David where it's called life, where life kind of bogged him down a little bit. In Psalms 23, in Psalms 22, we get a real insight into what David was going through in that, when he kind of had life hit him for the first time. And if you turn with Psalms 22 to me there, you'll see this cry out that David has to God. And I just want us to take time to just look at it when life hit David a little bit harder than he was expecting to. When you get it there, say amen. Amen. Wonderful. On the 22nd Psalms, it says in verse 1, it says, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away from me when I groan for help? Every day I call you, my God, but you do not answer. Every night you hear my voice. You hear my voice, and I find no relief. David's cry out for God is real, it's unapologetic, it's emotional, and it's raw. I think oftentimes in a relationship with God, we tend to want everything to be perfect all the time. And we want to present this image that, you know what, I understand everything that's going on and I am okay with it through prayer and life. But here we see David, a man after God's own heart, scream and yell out to God saying, why have you abandoned me? Like, why have you let me go through all of this? David, this person who we look up to every day, is screaming and yelling at God. And it took me back to say, what's going on with David? If this is a man after God's own heart, I've always been taught that we are reverent to God and that we listen to God and that, you know, we don't complain at all. But when I was studying, I was like, could it be that David was a man after God's own heart because his relationship with God was so authentic and real that it dealt with the emotions that were going on in his own life? Could it be that David had a relationship with God, a man after God's own heart, because David refused to let certain things get in the way of him telling God how his life is really going. We see David eventually come out of this later in the chapter, and it relates deeply to what Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you abandoned me? And it just reminded me that, like, David was a real man. He was a real man who had real emotions and had a real relationship with God, and he messed up. And sometimes when life gets hard, we can't choose to just say everything's okay. Sometimes we need to go to God and say, God, I feel like I don't understand, and I don't want to pray, and I don't want to do all of this. And sometimes it gets complicated in our relationship with God. Sometimes it's hard to get up and pray. Sometimes it's hard to read our devotional. Sometimes it's hard to do those things. And what God is calling us to do when those things happen, he's not calling us to be quiet and not talk to him about it. He calls us to reach out to him when it gets hard. He calls us to say, when it gets complicated, when we don't know how to pray, to say the simple prayer in the morning, God, I don't want to pray this morning, but I just need you to know that so I can go through my day. Because we forget that God is big enough for our questioning. He's big enough for our insecurities. He is God. He understands all those things and understands all of our emotions. And if David, a man after God's own heart, and Christ, the Son of God, can feel like God abandoned them sometimes, then maybe when I feel like God abandoned me sometimes, I should take note and call out to him and say, why have you abandoned me? Because maybe I'm feeling that way today. And that's what a relationship is. A relationship is honesty and truth. It's having those hard conversations when we don't understand what's going on. God is calling us to be authentic in our relationship with him. He's calling us to be so honest, because when we are so honest, miraculous things happen. Going on with David came out of that, and at the end of the 22nd Psalms, I really encourage you to read it. He starts to talk about what God has done for him. And he says, like, in the 22nd Psalm, he starts to go into this praise, and he says, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your ensemble people. Praise the Lord, all who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him your reverence, all your descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled your suffering of the needy. He has not turned your back on them, but has listened to their cries for help. I find it so interesting that in the same psalm where David is crying out to God and he feels abandoned, it's almost like God reminded him of all the things that he had done. And not in a way of badgering or you're bad or you're wrong. He just went through this transition where he's like, well, maybe God did hear me and I'm in this space. And God reminded him that he was there. And I think that's so powerful, that when we're going through things and we talk to God and we say that we don't understand, God reminds us that he's there. He wants to remind us that he's there because he loves us so, so much. And so we continue with the story of David. David becomes king, and I like to call this the motions. We see that David sometimes is going through the motions when he becomes king. And the key thing that I see this in is the story of Bathsheba. What happens with that, where David had these grand goals to be this massive person, this massive king, this person who would lead as a God, man after God's own heart. We've been introduced to this man who God inspired, who took down giants, and like a human man, he fell subject to lust. And that lust turned an awful head. And he ended up killing the soldier to cover up a sin that he had done. And we look at David at this point, if you're reading the book of the Bible, you're saying, this is a man after God's own heart, a man who has lusted after a woman and now she has died. Like, a man after God's own heart, who is this that we just met? And yet, God does not give up on David at that point, and God still refers to him later in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. I think that's important to understand, that we are human, and in our relationship with God, we are not called to be perfect because we are not God. But we are called to, when we mess up, to go to him and bow before him and say, I've messed up and I don't know what to do. And rely on people to tell us too, because the interesting part about this story is that David did not pull himself out of the situation. If you notice, the prophet had to come and he had to tell him, like, you are doing awful things in the eyes of God. And I was thinking about this in our own personal life, in our own personal church walk. If the people in our lives at church, our spiritual guidance, don't know what's going on in our own lives, How do we expect to rely on them to pull us out? If the community does not know where we are, if the church does not know what we're going through, how are we expected to have prayer and petition over our lives? God is calling us to be authentic in this community about what is going on in our lives. So if you've had a bad week, have a bad week and say that I need prayer this week. Say that I haven't been able to have my devotional this week. Say that it's hard for me to say I thank God every day. Say that it's hard to say those things so that as a community of believers, we can lift each other up in Christ. Because when we do that, miraculous things are able to happen in a community. We talk about Acts in the church. They were this community of people who just were so tight-knit that they knew about each other's lives. And they were so understanding that when someone messed up, they were able to fill in the gaps. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could fill in the gaps in our own church because we had relationships with each other where we knew what was going on. We knew each other's lives. And therefore, God can use the brothers and sisters around us to speak truth and speak existence into our lives. Because sometimes God does feel far away. Like, let's just say it. Sometimes God feels distant. And sometimes God uses people in our lives to remind us that he's there. And if we allow that to happen, he can do miraculous things through us and miraculous things through this church. And even when it gets complicated and when it gets sad and when it gets hard, we have a community of believers who are supporting us. So David came out of this, and we start to understand fully as we look at the whole picture that David's relationship with God is kind of like a roller coaster. It has ups and downs, lefts and rights. It goes upside down and flips it on its head sometimes, but that does not make it less valid. It's still a relationship, and in fact, it's one of the relationships that we find so highly talked about in the Bible. And I think, as I came to study about it, it had to be because of David's authentic honesty with God. It had to be with him being able to say, listen, sometimes it gets complicated in my own life. Sometimes it's really hard for me to move forward and do well. Sometimes I make mistakes. I lusted after a woman. I did these awful things. But like at the end of the day, God still loves me. And just because I did these awful things doesn't mean I'm going to stop talking to God. Just because I messed up doesn't mean I'm going to shut God out. Just because I feel like he's far away doesn't mean that I'm not going to talk to him. Because God is big enough to handle the worst thing in the world. Because my God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do for you. And if we remember that, we remember that, like, God is this person. I remember one day I was reading a book, and it came up that said, we can't let God down because God holds us up in this relationship. So we can't let God down because in this relationship, he holds us up with his righteous right hand. He calls us to come to him. So we can't let God down. That doesn't mean that God doesn't get disappointed. That doesn't mean that God doesn't get things. But we are just not. We're not holding up God. We don't hold up the heavens and the skies, and we don't have that responsibility because if we did, it would be too much. God holds us up, and it's his job to carry us because he can, because he's perfect and he understands. And so when we go to him and understand that, we understand that, like, God holds us up in this. There's this quote that I've said when I think about my relationship with God, and it goes like this, and it says, talking to God, and I go to him and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get the things out of my life that I don't need to be. Mold me into your image of your son so that I can be your masterpiece. In Jesus' name, I pray. I think that's the goal. The goal is to go to God when we're feeling tired and weak and saying, listen, I'm so weak right now. I need you to be strong. Listen, I don't feel like believing in you today. I need you to put the belief in me. I need you to remind me of what's going on. God, right now, I don't feel like getting up in the morning to pray. God, right now, I don't feel like going to church today. God, I can't do these things, and I need you to step in. Because when we just sit there and wallow and are not authentic in relationship with God, when we feel like we can't tell God things, it hinders the closeness that we have with God. We saw on the cross, Christ had this authenticity of saying to God, the man that he knew, he's seen all-powerful God. He felt even abandoned in those moments. it's okay to feel abandoned. It's okay to question. It's okay to not understand what's going on in our own lives. Because Christ is big enough to have all of that. And what I encourage you to do is when you don't understand, when you feel sad, when it feels like you can't make it through the next part of the day, you tell God that. You don't hide it. You don't say, you know, listen, things are going well right now. We don't hide it under the rug. We don't say that we can't do it. When we sin, we don't hide away from God and act like he's ashamed. Christ wants us to come to him and say, listen, I've messed up and I want to keep on messing up. I like the way this feels and I don't know how to stop that. And when we start to have that conversation with God, miraculous things start to happen. Because when we are in a relationship with Christ, we start to be molded towards him. It's like when you're in a relationship with your spouse or with your friends, you start to pick up on habits that they are doing. My dad had this habit of like turning on the stove a certain way, and my mom now does it. Like, I remember when I was little, like my mom used to not like it, and now she like turns on the stove, turns on the microwave, does breakfast, it's the same way. And it's kind of like that with Christ. We start to mirror him when we have that relationship. But if we are not honest with Christ, how are we supposed to grow in that relationship? I'm here to tell you that it's okay to have a complicated relationship with Jesus right now. It's okay to not be on fire all the time, because a relationship with Christ is just that. It's a relationship. It ebb and flows. It goes up and down. It goes left and right sometimes. But the thing is, if you're willing to stay on the ride with Christ, if you're willing to stay in that relationship with Christ, wonderful things can happen despite the circumstances that are going on in our life. We are not circumstantial believers. We are relational believers. So when we feel lost and we feel confused, first of all, talk to God about it. Let him know that I'm feeling lost and confused. And then secondly, talk to your people in Christ about it. Say, listen, I need you to pray for me every day this week because I cannot get up and pray every day this week. This past year was one of the most difficult for my life in a weird way. It wasn't awful, but there were weeks where I would wake up and I would have to text my friends and say, listen, I cannot pray this morning. Like, I don't know how to. I don't know what's going on. So I need you to, like, pray over me today. And it would be amazing because by that end of the day, I would be having conversations with God. And it had to be because of the prayers of the believers. It had to be because of those people around me who lifted me up in prayer. And this community that you have here that I've seen does that so well. And I encourage you to be even more authentic in your relationship with God. Don't walk into church perfect because there has to be a certain way to do things. Walk into church honest, because when we're honest, we're able to grow. When we say things like we don't understand or we don't get it, someone says, man, I feel the same exact way, and this is how I got through it. Or, hey, we're going through this together, then let's study the Bible. Let's figure it out together. Let's pray together. Like, because your questions are not invalid. God is not calling your misunderstanding or your ununderstanding invalid. What Christ wants to do is he wants to answer those questions. He wants to work with you through those questions. He wants to make sure you get understanding, because we do not serve a God who doesn't believe in not helping us. I can't believe that we serve a God who is just, here's the information, go if you don't understand. I believe I serve a real relationship-giving God. And when I have questions, he is willing to answer those in his timing. He's willing to find peace in those in his timing. And if we go to God and we say, listen, God, I do not get it today. Help me get it. Or work me through it. Or if I need to be mad for a while at God, it's okay to be mad for a while at God. God is big enough to handle your anger. It's just like when two people are married at a house and they're angry and they're both sitting on the couch. They're still in the relationship. They're just mad at each other. It's okay to be mad at God. It's okay to be sad and angry. It's okay to yell and scream because Christ is big enough to handle that. Because your anger, your words, your frustrations are not going to make God fall from heaven, and it's not going to make him strike you down with lightning. What it's going to do is going to strengthen your relationship with God because you were authentic. You said, listen, I can't. I can't. And I encourage you to do that. And it's been on my heart because in many of the churches that I've been to, that I've seen, sometimes we walk into church, especially with new believers, and we present this mindset of, like, everything's going well with my relationship with Christ. It's going great. And, like, ever since I met Christ, everything's good. But that's not it. It's, I feel like sometimes when you get into a relationship with Christ, your life gets even harder. And although we say, you know, it's hard, but it's okay with Christ, sometimes it's just hard, and it doesn't feel better with Christ. Sometimes it's hard, and it's just rough. So I want to encourage you to embrace those times. Because a man after God's own heart did. Because Jesus did. He embraced those tough times. And understanding that Christ is going to be there with you through those tough times, it's unapologetic. It is wonderful that we serve a God who's willing to be there with us. Our relationship with God will always go up and down, left and right, because we're humans and we have emotions. But God's love for us will never change. If you wouldn't mind just praying with me to close out today. Lord, thank you for complicated relationships with you. Thank you for not knowing how to get through certain things. Thank you for not understanding. And thank you for being there through it all. Lord, help us to be authentically connected to you. To not worry about what happens next, but to know that you're there every step of the way. In your name, amen. Amen. You all knew